This Sunday, we're concluding our month of exploring the Parami of Wisdom. Generosity, Sila, or ethics, renunciation, and wisdom. These Parami are all essential qualities of heart that are useful in our daily life and help carry us safely through the swirling floods of existence. That's the way Kitisaro put it, and I like that phrase, otherwise known as samsara. When I sat down to put together this talk, I asked, how does wisdom help us cross the floods? I thought of the pressures, the expectations, the worries, the misguided assumptions that can lead to a sense of overwhelm and confusion in life. And I thought of the definition of wisdom in Ajahn Suchito's book, Parami Ways to Cross Life's Floods, that we've been referencing this year. A friend gave me a set of 10 Parami cards created by Ajahn Suchito, and I have the wisdom card from the set here. And I did put a note in the chat how you can get these cards. They're free. But I wanted to share this card with you today because it really helped me reflect on my experience and how I could maybe pull some wisdom out of that experience. So the card, I can just show you, like, this is the size. And the title is Clarity, Wisdom, Panya. So Panya is the Pali word for wisdom. And wisdom, according to Ajahn Suchito, is clarity. So the card says, recognizing the skill of clarity, I aspire to check my assumptions with awareness and careful reflection, and thereby arrive at an unbiased understanding. In my mind, I underlined the words clarity, assumptions, awareness, careful reflection, unbiased. I thought these words can help me practice wisdom in my daily life. As we already talked about this month, and Carrie said, our teacher Monday night, said, wisdom is a verb. It's a process of approaching our experience. It's not a bucket of knowledge. Then I thought about the foundational idea that there are two wings of the Dharma, wisdom and compassion, and how so often when I see wisdom in action, there is a compassion piece in it. I started by working with an hypothesis that it is important to let compassion for ourselves and compassion for others inform our understanding or wisdom. And I was reading Norman Fisher's book on the Parami, and he said, of course, understanding and love go together. So I felt validated. As Arv and Suze have done in their talks this month, I decided it would be best to talk about a learning experience of my own that has led me to, I think, greater wisdom. Arv spoke about an experience with wisdom through the lens of his divorce, and Suze used the lens of aging. I asked myself, what's been going on for me recently that needs my deeper understanding? And I wondered what had been successful in leading me toward wisdom and what had not worked so well. Since wisdom is characterized by clarity, I asked, where have I been confused? And where have I been operating from unchecked assumptions rather than awareness? That reminded me of a talk I heard recently by a Buddhist nun at Clear Mountain. She quoted a sutta called the Jata Sutta, and it's also called the Tangle. And some of you may have heard it. I've heard it before, but it seemed particularly pertinent in this situation. So this is part of the sutta. A tangle within, a tangle without. People are entangled in a tangle. Gautama, that's the Buddha, I ask you this, who can untangle this tangle? The Buddha answered, he said a man, but I'm saying a person, developing discernment and mind. A person developing discernment and mind, he or she can untangle this tangle. Pretty quickly, a troublesome situation in my life rose up in my mind. I was indefinitely entangled in it. Most of my learning came after the fact, so the story starts with a very little wisdom. And it's not a simple story, it's more like a saga. And a lot of the wisdom is actually pretty fresh because I pulled it out as I was writing this talk. I've been learning from Ajahn Sucitto's book and from Dharma talks given by my Sunday sit colleagues and my Monday night teachers, and from this Sangha and the Monday Sangha and other Kalyanamita, which is other spiritual friends I have. So this is the situation. It began out of the blue back in December with an episode of vertigo that I had, which caused fear and then worry in me. And I'll briefly describe what happened. I was attending a weekly Qigong class on Zoom, which I had been attending for almost 3 years. The teacher was showing us how to do a light, and I underline light, because in Qigong, you only exert maximum effort is only 70% effort. So he said, this is a light massage of acupressure points on the palm of your hand, wrist, and inner arm. And he emphasized that we should exert only gentle effort. But for some reason, I was curious and I squeezed my arm forcefully. Immediately, I experienced a very strong wave of vertigo, and I had to hold onto the table in front of me to stay upright. I've experienced vertigo only a few times in my life, and the most recent one before this had been 5 years before. Well, I recovered quickly and went on with the class, but a few days later, I was getting out of bed in the morning, and I had a second wave of vertigo. And again, it was out of the blue, and that's when I started to worry. Looking back, I think that the fear was at the heart of all of this. If I had responded to the fear differently and not with worry, the story might not have become such a tangle. It might have been much simpler. Now I remember that Suze, in her talk on the renunciation of worry, had said something about there being an assumption with worry often that if we worry, things will turn out okay. If we don't worry, they won't. And looking back, I see that I was thinking along those lines. My worry was a form of self-protection, and that reaction got things going in the wrong direction. I thought to myself at the time, if I take this vertigo seriously, watch it closely, and worry about it, I will have some control over it. I won't let it get away from me. And from that point, I started paying lots of attention to my body sensations to see if there was any sense of dizziness, lightheadedness, or loss of balance. And the truth is that it's been 5 months now since I had the second and last bout of vertigo. But for more than a month, I was very susceptible to the tiniest feeling that I was off balance, and I spent a lot of time worrying about it. In his book, Ajahn Sucitto describes four types of floods or currents, and they're also called asavas or corruptions. And he said, these are the currents we have to cross. These are the floods. This is the types of samsara that we're presented with. So these four currents are the current of sensuality and sense objects like sights, sounds, tastes, smells, touches, especially pleasant ones. And then there's the current of becoming, and those are like identification, self-image, status, achievements. And the third is the current of views, like opinions, self-righteousness, prejudice, judgments, which I think are shoulds. And the fourth is the current of ignorance. And that has to do with blaming outer conditions and trying to change the conditions instead of trying to change our mind, which all involve investigation, the lack of investigation, basically. So I think that I was overwhelmed by the current of ignorance when I first reacted to the fear of the vertigo. I attempted to control the condition I was afraid of with worry. And in truth, I felt very vulnerable and not in control. I was resisting my feeling of vulnerability by trying to control. And instead of the worry thoughts, in retrospect, it would have been a lot wiser to have taken a curiosity stance and simply asked, what's going on here? But I was really hooked. Last Monday night, our teacher Carrie talked about the importance of asking questions to help us carefully reflect and gain wisdom. And one of the questions she suggested was to stop, pay attention, be curious, and ask, what's going on here? The antidote to ignorance is investigation, and we have the Four Noble Truths to help us with that. But I had forgotten the truth of the way things are. I'd forgotten the three characteristics of anicca, impermanence, dukkha, suffering or unsatisfactoriness, and anatta, not self. And I had forgotten that the Buddha asked us to reflect often on the five recollections. I am of the nature to get ill. Illness is unavoidable. The fear I was feeling with the vertigo was the fear of aging, illness, and death. I really needed to stay right there with my feeling of vulnerability, and self-compassion would have helped too. And another investigation question that Carrie offered last Monday would have helped. Where does it hurt? I didn't do that though. That's why this all became a tangle. The next part of this situation, which led to a greater entanglement, was that I didn't tell my friends or family about the vertigo or my fear or worry. I didn't want to let others know that I was afraid or that something was wrong. I didn't want to show an image of myself as a victim, needing help, being vulnerable. Again, I was self-protecting. And this wasn't very compassionate. It was my meeting the current of becoming in an unwise way. I wanted to look like everything was fine, nothing was the matter. In this way, I missed the opportunity to experience support in the form of compassion and wisdom from people I was close to. And more important, I missed the opportunity to acknowledge that I was hurting and needed compassion from myself. Again, I could have asked, where does it hurt? But I didn't. I did tell my doctor and my acupuncturist, which I think was wise. But then my doctor wanted to rule out all serious causes, and she scheduled an MRI and an echocardiogram. Now I started worrying about what those results might reveal. And while I was waiting for those appointments to happen, the stress was building. But at Sims, we were studying Sila, which, as you know, includes right speech or honest speech. And I had to acknowledge that I was not being honest with people I was close to by hiding these worries from them. So it was hard, but one by one, I started sharing and immediately felt relief from the stress of holding everything inside. And I also got the benefit of a more balanced perspective on my situation and a deeper connection with my friends and family. I saw that it was freeing to share the truth, even if the truth was that everything was not fine. And I felt gratitude for the wisdom of the Eightfold Path and the Parami of Sila and right speech. But this was not the end. While I was worrying about the MRI and echocardiogram, I developed insomnia. I'd been used to like 8 or 9 hours of sleep a night, but now I was waking up at 1 or 2. Many nights I was unable to go back to sleep. Sometimes I only got 3 or 4 hours of sleep. My worry was affecting my ability to function during the day, which made me more anxious and compounded the problem. I was tired and uncomfortable. And now I was being battered by the current of unpleasant sensory experiences. Even after I got the results of the MRI and echocardiogram in the following weeks showing no problem that would have caused the vertigo, the insomnia continued. My body had gotten into a groove of waking up and staying awake. This was unacceptable to me. Even though I knew that what was needed was to relax and accept, I wanted to argue with the reality of the insomnia, and that took effort. And I tried to relax and let go of my resistance. But at the same time I was trying to do that, I was thinking to myself, this has got to go. I tried many relaxation and sleep-inducing practices that had worked for me before when I woke up in the middle of the night, like meditating, Qigong, focusing on my breath, listening to guided meditations. But a practice would work for a night or two and then it wouldn't. I'm not proud to say that I even found myself thinking, I need a pill. There must be a pill. Now it had been almost 5 months since I had first experienced the wave of vertigo, which has started the sequence of events that I couldn't seem to get a handle on. And it was time to prepare a talk on wisdom. What was I learning? What were the qualities at work in this unfortunate sequence of events? I could see that I now that I had choices, which I hadn't seen before. There was a choice between wisdom and ignorance. Wisdom would be remembering I am of the nature to age, get ill, die, versus ignorance, thinking I am a solid self and it's possible for me to be permanent and for me to be permanently happy. There was the choice between self-compassion and self-judging. I could have asked myself, where does it hurt? Versus saying, it's not okay to hurt and you shouldn't hurt. There was the choice between acceptance and resistance. Acceptance, knowing sometimes I will feel uncomfortable and fatigue in the moment. I can soften around that. Sensations change. Versus saying that feeling uncomfortable and fatigued is not okay. I must do everything in my power to keep that from happening. That's the resistance. And there was the choice between being curious about reality and arguing with reality. So asking the question, what's really going on here? And sometimes it's even okay not to know for a while what's going on. Versus arguing, this shouldn't be happening. And finally, there was the choice between being vulnerable and being in control. Being vulnerable, knowing it's essential to turn toward, get close to, and embrace vulnerability versus believing I must be in control and protect myself from feeling vulnerable. So, in conclusion, I see that as challenging as some of these experiences have been, I've learned from them and I think I'm wiser. The saying seems to be true that whatever is in the way is the way. I hope I will be able to keep learning and growing in wisdom, using the skill of clarity to check my assumptions and awareness with awareness and careful reflection, informed by compassion. So this is a short talk because I'm almost done here. So I do have a poem, and the poem is from The First Free Women, and it's called Lucky. You always considered yourself lucky because things seem to work out the way you want it. Now luck has a different meaning. Lucky to be walking a path that finds peace in the arising and passing away of each present moment, regardless of how things work out or don't. So I'll just take a moment to reflect on wisdom, clarity, confusion. how it's working in your life. And now we have an opportunity to talk about, you know, we've spent a month on wisdom, and so we can move into breakout groups. Okay, it looks like everybody's back, and I just wanted to note that I put the source for the Parmi cards in the chat. I had done it earlier, but I forgot to send it. So the cards are free, and my friend got them through abhayagiri.org, which is in the United States. The cards actually say, give the address of Chittaviveka, which is in England. So I would try Abhayagiri first. And I looked on the book list at Abhayagiri, and they don't list them. They do have the Parmi book by Ajahn Suchito, but he said that he emailed the Abhayagiri and he asked, do you have the cards? And they sent them to him. So that's just a follow-up if you want the cards, but they're pretty cool. And, you know, you can put one out for a month and look at it and think about that and try to practice with it. So I just want to say that.
Lauren, it doesn't show up in the chat, which
it
often
doesn't.
Happens. So just while we're talking, maybe you could put it back in.
Okay. Yeah. Huh. Okay. Maybe it's because I copied and edited it. Okay. I will.
It's there, and then it disappears.
I see. I'll do it again. Okay. Anyway, who would like to say something about, you know, wisdom and what you've been learning this month, what you talked about? Anybody? Come on.
In my group, we all talked in one way or another about showing up for what is. There was just this, you know, we all had different experiences, but we were all trying to show up and learn from being present with it, whatever the it was, and asking questions, and hopefully they're useful. And if that one wasn't, maybe asking a new one. You know, so it's really lovely.
Thank you. Suze, anybody else? How about anybody in a tangle of any kind? Where it's hard to find the wisdom?
Well, we talked about learning from our experiences and how often we seemed to learn more from when we messed up than when we did things right. And that maybe we should keep that in balance a bit, because and have a little bit more appreciation for when we don't mess up. But that, you know, when we do mess up, it seems like it makes a bigger impression because it stays with us longer and we have to, you know, clean up the mess. So, kind of the relationship between experience and wisdom again.
Yeah. Thanks, Judith. Lyndall?
You need to unmute.
I appreciated how you talked about those floods that Ajahn Suchito talks about in his book. And I think one of the things that has come up for me a lot in looking at wisdom has been that kind of noticing when I'm doing things that maybe aren't so wise because I am getting caught up in those floods, especially that flood of becoming, where I'm kind of doing something because I have an image of myself that I ought to be able to do this, or, you know, that sort of thing. And I think your story about the vertigo and not wanting to deal with it because feeling like, well, it shouldn't be there, you know, that's something that happens with me too. So that getting caught in the flood of becoming seems to be a good way to do things that aren't wise for me.
Yeah. I thought those were really helpful because as soon as I read those again, I thought, oh boy, I can really see that. And the one that I didn't mention, but which I get caught in, is the assumptions, the views one. Mm-hmm. You know, just not even recognizing that I just have assumed something that wasn't really true. Yeah. And that I'm biased, you know, biased towards me. Yeah. Okay. So everybody got a chance to share enough, it looks like. Anybody else want to say anything? Because we've got a little more time. One thing I did want to say that I thought I said, but I left it out, was that one thing Ajahn Suchito said was we get caught trying to improve conditions, you know, that are bugging us, that are in the way. But we really, that's kind of endless. What we really need is to improve the mind, put the focus on the mind, not on the conditions so much, fixing them. And I thought that was really had a wise piece to it. And it had, and the woman who, the nun who shared about the entanglement of the mind, her focus was on our responsibility. With whatever we, just like what you were saying, Suze, that you talked about, that whatever we're presented with, forget about blaming it out there, forget about, you know, the causes, it's yours now. So you deal with it. And then I think added to that, Ajahn Suchito, was look at the way your mind is handling it. Can you improve anything? Can you work on your mind and the way your mind is receiving that and framing that? So... yeah, I think there's a lot to learn with wisdom. Okay, well, we can move on to the announcements.